All right. Okay, open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to, you know, you can rest in grace. A lot of people get tied up in works, but God wants us to rest in His grace. And we're going to look at Peter's journey to rest. You know, Peter had to learn how to rest in grace. He didn't just get that way when he got ordained to be an apostle. He had a practice session. He had to learn how to rest in grace. But look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." All right. First thing we need to address is this roaring lion. The Bible tells us that the devil walks around as a roaring lion. He has no teeth. And he's seeking whom he may devour. We need to identify ourselves real fast. We are not whom he mays. We are whosoever's. We are not whom he mays. We're not devourable. We're not going to get out of the hedge of protection. We're not going to get out there and never land where he can get us. We're going to stay under the wings of God, in his shadow, under his protection, under the blood. As long as you're there, he cannot touch you. But that's our goal. Casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. You know, that's one of those things that you're going to have to practice. You know, you may have to repeat it. You know, something starts bugging you. You can't figure it out. You don't have the solution. You don't have the answer. You don't know what to do. Cast your care over on to Jesus, for he cares for you. Why would we do that? Well, number one, he told us not to worry. He told us not to be anxious for anything. Worry is no good for us. Have you noticed that? Worry will make you sick. It'll wear you out. It's no good for people to be worried all the time. But that's what happens. You know, a big problem hits. And we lay there and we try to figure out, what are we going to do about this? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do about this? Have any of you ever laid there in bed and said, "God, what are you going to do about this?" See, that's not being disrespectful or anything. That's putting it over onto him. You know, he can show you how to get out of these messes, out of these troubles, how to deal with these problems. In spite of ourselves, he's got a really, really good track record of bringing us through hard times. If you're alive and breathing air right now, he's brought you through every hard time you've ever had. So he's got a good track record of getting us where we need to be, doesn't he? Okay, so let's cast our cares over onto Jesus. He cares for us. He's our good shepherd. He wants to carry the load. He wants to be the one that we turn to. He wants us to let him be God in our life. But so many people are so smart, they're going to figure it out on their own. Or they'll work harder. Or they'll save more. Or they'll do this or they'll do that. What about just asking God? Didn't he say he'd supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? That's not just that's not just money. Do you have a need for health? Of course. Do you have a need for deliverance? Of course. Do you have a need for protection? Of course. Whatever it is you need, he will meet the need. Are we going to let him meet the need? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. Says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So right there, talking about that rest. The fastest way to that rest is to cast your cares over onto Jesus. You know, you may have to do that several times. You know, something's really bugging you, so you get tired of it and you cast your care over onto Jesus. You say, Jesus, I cast this over onto you. You take this. And then 5 minutes later, you're sitting there worrying about that thing again. You have to cast it over onto him again. See, we have these habits that we fall into. And sometimes we have to fight kind of hard to break those habits. You know, worrying is a bad habit that people have. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to break. You know, especially when there's something really, really important to you on the line. And it's hard not to worry about that, isn't it? But Jesus wants to carry that load for us. And we may have to go over and over it and over it and over it again. We may have to cast it over on him. Well, who cares if it takes 10 or 15 times before we finally get a release? Did he say we had to get it perfect the first time? No. But he said, he was tempted with all the things that we've been tempted with. You know, right there, so we have a high priest. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how you feel. He knows how you feel when you're alone. He knows how you feel when you're sick. He knows how you feel in any temptation you have, because he was tempted with all of it. See, he already knows. See, that's why he can have compassion on us. He knows what we're going through. And that's why he wants us to cast our cares over onto him. He can carry it. We were not designed to carry that weight. He is. He's the only one that man enough to do it. Now, let's look at Peter here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 8. We'll start looking at him a little closer here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So there's, we could call that Peter's first boat ride. But here's the thing. They followed him onto the boat. Jesus went first. And they followed him onto the boat. And then they got in a storm. And they had to go wake up Jesus and say, hey, we're going to sink here. But they forgot. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. You know, it wouldn't have mattered if that boat got completely full of water. They were going to go to the other side. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. But, you know, they ran to him. That was a smart thing. They ran to Jesus. They woke him up. And things worked out well, didn't they? See, that, you could call that one of Peter's first big experiences of casting his cares over onto Jesus. You know. But he was right there that time. Now go over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So now we got a completely different situation here. You know, when you constrain somebody to get on a... You constrain cattle to get on a truck. You're pushing them up on the truck. Jesus constrained his disciples to get on that boat. Before him. See, it's all different now, isn't it? Now, last time, he went on the boat first. Now, this is a little bigger dare. They're getting on the boat without him. See how it's different? Things change. Things change as we grow. Things change as we learn of Jesus. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Let's stop at that fourth watch of the night. There's too many people that give up. Just, you know, they don't know how close they were to receiving their miracle or whatever they needed, and they give up. You know, Jesus seems to show up in our darkest hours a lot of times. You know, why didn't he meet me when I was halfway down the hill? Why did he wait until I was all the way down in the valley of the shadow of death? Why didn't he save me before I got all the way down there? Why did I have to go through that? You know, we've always got these learning experiences that we're going to go through. Whether we like them or not, we're going to have learning experiences in our walk of faith. And I would really love to tell you that once we start walking by faith, we're going to get up on the hilltop and we're going to stay there. The sun's going to be on our back. The wind is not going to be in our face. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be nice. It's going to be fun. When God sends us out on a mission, it's just going to go slick and smooth, just like it's supposed to. But that's not the truth. That is not the truth. The truth is, when you step out in faith, you should expect resistance. There is an Antichrist running around out there. Did you know that? And he's against anything, anyone that is attached to that anointing. So when you step out in faith, you should expect resistance. You should expect things to not look really rosy sometimes. And you should expect things to maybe be a little bit rough sometimes. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He promised. That is just as much a promise as any of the rest of the promises in the Bible. In this world, there's going to be problems. I'm kind of shocked at the amount of Christians that I've prayed for that were actually shocked that they were having problems. I mean, they were really kind of put out that they were having problems. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to have trouble. This is not in the Bible. You cannot find that in the Bible. As a Christian, you should expect to have trouble come your way. So we'll carry on here. No matter what, if it looks like you're at the end of the rope, just tie a knot and hang on. But he came out to them during the fourth watch of the night, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." We just talked about that. Be of good cheer. In this world there shall be tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Here these guys are in a storm, and they come out there. Be of good cheer. How are you going to be in good cheer? Casting your cares over onto Jesus. You know, you can have joy in your heart in the midst of great tribulation. You can have peace in your heart in the midst of great tribulation. And when everything looks like it's falling apart, you can still have peace in your heart. Love, joy, peace. Those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's no indication of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's fruit of the Spirit. That's having a relationship, a fellowship with Jesus. You know, there's a lot of Christians that have the fruit of the Spirit that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Christians that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit that don't have much of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, but here's the thing. We get that fruit from our fellowship with him. Now we'll carry on here. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. This is so cool. You know, there were 12 people in that boat. They all heard that word come. There could have been 12 people jump out of that boat, walk out to Jesus, but there was one. Don't get unnerved, and don't get into doubt if you're the only one that jumps out of the boat sometimes. Jump out of that boat and get walking. Don't worry about it. Those others heard it. They didn't want to go. Just go. Well, the Bible tells us that Peter walked on water. This is cool. He was walking on water. Too many people try to major on him sinking. We don't know if he got to his ankles or his ears. We have no idea. All we know is that he started thinking and he cried out to Jesus, "Save me." And guess what happened? Jesus saved him. They walked back to the boat on water. See, Peter dared to go too far. You know, like Wayne Myers, he said, "You'll never know how far you can go until you dare to go too far." That means you got to stretch your little comfort zone. You got to stretch your bubble. People have these comfort zones. We get these bubbles around us. And we get comfortable in these bubbles. And we do the same thing at the same time every day. We're so predictable. People sit in the same place at church every Sunday. They sit in the same place at church every Wednesday. People take the same trail to the post office. They park in the same place. They eat the same thing at the same restaurants every time. We have these little comfort zones. We have these little comfort zones that we don't want to break. And then we get used to being around certain people. And we don't want to be around different people. But see, these are little comfort zones that Jesus wants us to bust out of. He wants us to get out there. Well, what if I start sinking? Can you cry, "Jesus, save me"? Well, then it'll be okay. Because what you just effectually did was you just cast your cares over onto Him. And guess what happens? He gets you through. We all have these little boundaries that we set. And we don't want to push out of those boundaries, and we don't want anybody to push into those boundaries. You know, people are crazy. We get in these little boxes. And we have these little boxes organized just the way we want them, and we don't want anybody getting in there and shaking up our box. But God doesn't want us in a box. He wants this whole world to be our oyster. You know, when I left that little county that I came from, that was a big, big step. A huge step. That little county was about like Jeff Davis. It was about that many people. And I was comfortable. I was safe. I knew the rules. And I got where I had to start going to this city. It had about 25,000 people in it. And that just tear me up. There's so many stoplights. There's so many people. And I thought, oh man, I can't live like this. I get so tore, I just run through the stoplights. Well, God kept growing me, and He kept showing me new things. And then one day I found myself preaching in Fort Worth. That is so weird, because I didn't really like people all that much when I left home. And now here I am at Fort Worth. And I drove there to the place to preach. And I thought, that's crazy. I called Glenn Smith. I said, "This is crazy. I don't like driving around people." And here I was in Fort Worth. See, that's what God does to us. He grows us and He gets us out into different places, into different experiences. And if we'll just cast our cares over onto Him, He'll make sure things go well for us. But it's when we decide we're going to fix it. We're going to do it this way. I got my game plan right here. We're going to go from point A to point B to point C. God says, I might take you from point A to point X. And then after we get done with Z, we might get back to B. And then people get rattled. You know, we can just roll with it sometimes. You know that? Just roll with it. Jesus said, does all this worry add one cubit to your stature? You can't change one thing with all your worry. So sometimes we just got to roll with it. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 1. So right there, Jesus showed us that he could get us out of a bind if we got out there too far. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king set forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he thought it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. I don't know how many soldiers that is, but that's more than I want to deal with. And these are the same crew that strung Jesus up. Now, if there's ever a man that had a reason to worry, Peter. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers kept the door. The keepers before the door kept the prison. You know, here's Peter. He's seen Jesus on the cross. The same people that did that to Jesus are the same people that have him chained to the floor. If there was ever a case of somebody saying, ain't nothing I can do about it now, I'm going to get some rest. That's Peter. You know. Can you fix it? If you can't fix it, I mean, really, what are you going to do? He evidently just cast his cares over onto Jesus and got a nap. I guess he figured, you know, it really isn't none of my business. If I get out of here, I get out of here. If I don't, I don't. And then look at this. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. This angel had to kick him in the ribs to wake him up. Get up. Wake up. We got to go. There, you know, he said there was a bright light shining. And sometimes when the moon shines real bright at night, I wake up, you know, I look, there's light. And that's not even nearly as bright as an angel. There's an angel in the room, that bright light, and Peter still didn't wake up. He had to kick him in the ribs. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. He went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them on his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. He was just taking it easy. You know, Paul got thrown in jail one time, and he just said, oh, we'll pray. And we praised God. They started praising God, and the jail cell started opening. You know, if there was ever anybody that had an opportunity to sing that hee-haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me, it was Paul and Peter. They had an opportunity. I mean, they could have sat there and said, oh, man, I knew this was going to happen if I followed that Jesus guy. You know, I knew if I went into town, this was going to happen. You know, they could have got down and out, but they didn't. You know, Paul started praising God and Peter took a nap. That's rest. You know, that's rest. Peter didn't sit there trying to figure out how he's going to make bail or nothing. He just took a nap. He cast his care over onto Jesus. So there's really nothing I can do about this. So I'm not going to worry about it. Philippians chapter 4. I had to have a Bible study with a lady one time on the street, and this was our subject. She said, I've been so worried about you. I pray for you all the time. I'm just worried about you all the time. I said, stop that! She looked at me kind of funny. I said, don't stop praying for me, but stop worrying. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. Literally, don't worry. Every time I think about this, I think about that old hippie song, don't worry, be happy. You know, that's just the stupidest song, and they played it all the time for a long time. And I just think about that all the time. Don't worry, be happy. But really, is our worry going to change anything? Is our worry going to fix anything? The only thing worry is going to do is cause problems in our bodies. And worry, if you worry hard enough, it'll cause you to make bad decisions. But when you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you cast your cares over unto him, things change. Look what else it says here. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. 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 Not just the big things. Not just the things that you think are important. Not just the things, you know, that maybe look like it might really be some damage. Everything. Every little thing. Every little thing from your puppy up to your parents. Everything. All of it. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he wants us to talk to him about everything. Little things, big things, important things, everything. He has this desire to have a fellowship with his people. And somehow we got this idea that we should only come to him with the big, important things. How many of you, when you was kids, only talked to your parents about the big, important things? You didn't talk to them about any of the fun things. You didn't talk to them about playing with your friends. You didn't talk to them about going camping or doing anything. You didn't talk to them about having any fun, nothing, huh? And we talked to them about everything, didn't we? That's how God wants us to be with him. He's our loving Heavenly Father. And he wants us to bring everything to him in prayer. And here's the reward right here. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." How about that? We're always looking for peace. Everybody's looking for peace. Everybody wants peace in their heart. They want peace in their mind. Even the most chaotic people you'll ever run into, they're looking for peace. You know, you may not know it, but I mean, some of the most craziest people you'll ever run into, that's one of the things they want most is peace. It's just, they have this obscure idea that if people, places, and things would just line up the way they want them to, then they could have peace. That's not the way it works. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We're going to get that from fellowship with Jesus. And then in verse 8, he goes on to tell us different things that we should think on. See, it'd be one thing for him to tell us to not be worried. But if he didn't give us some design to not be worried, we'd be worried. But he did give us the design. He showed us how. By casting our cares over onto him. And then thinking about him. Focus on him. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for protecting us. And Father, we thank you that we can take every desire of our heart, every concern that we have, every challenge that we have, every hardship that we have, cast it over onto Jesus and talk to you about it. And that we'll get guidance and deliverance from you in Jesus' name. Amen.